kind of think about it, and it's a story, it's a depiction that you see quite often in art. And in fact, I think the place you see it most often is usually like in a nursery or a children's nursery or Sunday school rooms. And when you see it, it usually looks really cute. The animals are cuddly. The boat looks like it's fun to be on. Everybody seems happy. Even when it's raining, for some reason, the sun's still shining. It looks like a happy story. And this is true also in how it's depicted in even movies. There's a movie called Evan Almighty, which is a kind of a retelling of the Noah's Ark story. And there's a scene in there where God encounters a woman in a restaurant, and they start talking about Noah's Ark. And God, who is played by Morgan Freeman, of course, talks to this lady, and he gives the reason about what Noah's Ark is all about. And he says, you know, I see it as a love story. It's about believing in yourself, believing in others, the strength of family. It's not about God's wrath. Now, the movie is good, but I have problems with that part. Because you can't get around the fact that we're only 6 chapters into the Bible. 6 chapters away from when God looked at the entire creation and said, "This is very good." When all of a sudden, we see at the beginning of chapter 6, God looks out upon the world and is so distraught by it that it actually grieves the heart of God. In older translations, that's what it says, that God's heart was grieved by what he had made. So awful had things become, so cruel, so violent had the world become that it made him sad. Man's sin is the sorrow of God. It grieves God's heart. And so then God puts forth this plan that we see in 6 verse 7. And it's not a kind plan. It's not a love story. God declares, looking out on this creation that has gone awry, and he says, "I'm going to blot it all out. I'm going to erase it. I'm going to wash out the sin of humanity with a flood. I'm going to destroy it all." So pervasive was human sin, in fact, that God includes all of creation with this. Every creature that breathes air is going to be destroyed. So pervasive is the sin of man. So grieved is God's heart by what he sees. So it's a flood to wash away humanity's sin. But of course, he allows for a couple people, 8 people in fact, to be on there. Noah, his wife, and his 3 sons and their wives to be on there. And they bring along the animals of the earth so that they can repopulate the earth at some point after the flood. It's kind of a holy reboot in a way. You know, Annie and I used to have this computer that ran really well for about 10 minutes. And then after about 10 minutes, it slowed down to a creeping crawl. Just, you couldn't even use it anymore. It just slowed down so that you just wanted to chuck the thing against the wall. Drove you nuts. All we would do, though, is we'd turn the computer off, turn it back on, and it'd be back to normal. A total reboot. God is doing this with creation. He's going to reboot it. He's going to restart it and restart it with Noah and his family and the animals that they have. So God calls forth Noah, who Scripture tells us is an upright and blameless man. Now this doesn't mean that Noah is without sin. That's not what it is implied here. That's not what it says. What it does mean is that Noah is the kind of guy that when he saw his sin, he repented of it before the Lord, made sacrifice for his sin, tried to do right by God, had integrity. He was an upright and blameless person in that regard. So God calls Noah forth, gives Noah this command to build this gigantic boat, to gather in these animals, to gather in all sorts of food so that a remnant of humanity and the animals could survive this catastrophe that God's going to bring. And Noah, being the upright and blameless man that he is, obeys the word of the Lord without question and starts going to work on this boat. And God gives him this promise that, you know, even though I'm going to destroy it, I'm going to restart things through you. This won't be the utter end of all things. So then God sends the floodwaters, and much like the kids, he brings disaster, as the kids said they want to do with their own powers for the weather. It rains 40 days and 40 nights. The flood comes, wipes out everything, destroys all things. You know, the art that you don't see in nurseries and depictions of Noah's Ark are the people on the outside of the boat who are fighting against the water and screaming for help that Noah and his family just have to close their ears to. Those people that God has determined in his wrath are to die for the punishment of their sin. So God sends the flood, and eventually the floodwaters reside, and Noah sends out a raven, which does nothing, and so he decides he better send out a smarter bird, which I guess is the dove. The dove goes out and brings back an olive leaf, which tells Noah that life is returning back to earth, and eventually when it doesn't come back again, Noah understands that the waters are drying up, and it's just about time to open the doors and to go out. And as they go out, and as the flood is gone and the animals were released, Noah has some animals that were extra that he builds an altar for, and he sacrifices on this altar, and then God gives that amazing promise that we're very familiar with. The promise that God is going to hang up his bow, his weapon of war, basically. And that's what we need to imagine it as. It's not just a pretty rainbow. It's actually a bow, as in bow and arrows. This is what God hangs in the sky, and he hangs it in the sky, and he tells Noah that never again am I going to bring disaster upon the earth in this way. Never again am I going to do a reboot like this, where I bring and destroy all things. Never again. And in fact, every time it rains, I'm going to hang my bow in the sky. I'm going to see my bow there, and I'm going to remember, this is not the wrath I'm going to bring down upon the earth. But I have a question. What changed from before the flood to after the flood? Because if God's assessment of the earth was that it's cruel and violent, then, before the flood, what would be God's assessment now? Does it look cruel and violent to you? Because it sure feels that way to me. It sure feels that way to me. So what changed from before the flood to after it? Let me read a verse from chapter 8, verses 20 to 21. We didn't read this in our original reading, but it's very telling here on what did not change. This is after the flood. This is right when Noah is building the altar. The only people on earth at this time are Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives. There's eight people on earth. This is what God says in his word. Noah built an altar where he could offer sacrifices to the Lord. Then he offered on the altar one of each kind of animal and bird that could be used for a sacrifice. The smell of the burning offering pleased God, and God said, "Never again will I punish the earth for the sinful things its people do. All of them have evil thoughts from the day they were born till now. But I will never destroy everything that breathes as I did this time." What changed from before the flood to after? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't humanity. Even this upright and blameless person, even of him, God says, they have sinful thoughts from the moment they're born. There is one thing, though, that has changed. And what changed is how God plans to deal with human sin. Because when God hung his bow in the sky, what he planned to do was to not deal with the totality of human sin and with his wrath and his anger against human sin in that destructive way ever again. But the wrath of God is still present. God is still grieved when and with human sin. God is grieved and sad about when I sin and when you sin. But what's changed is on how God is going to deal with human sin. God, for the salvation of the world, instead of placing his wrath upon humanity in a storm, places the wrath of his sin upon his Son. God hung his bow in the sky as a reminder that he would not do such a thing again, but he hung his Son on the cross to bear the brunt of all the wrath owed to us. Romans chapter 5 says this, "Since therefore we have now been justified by the blood of Christ, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life." Note there that even in the New Testament, we still hear about the wrath of God. We hear about how we are enemies of God. But through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, we are reconciled to God. Jesus is the new rainbow. He is the thing that we look to hanging on the cross more than just the rainbow in the sky. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who bore the wrath owed to us in his body on the cross. We thank you that you have, in your wisdom, your grace, and your mercy, decided to deal with our sin in this way. And that we are reminded each and every time it rains that you do not bring destruction upon us. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us the feet and the mouths to bring this message to all those who need to hear it. The message of Jesus Christ on the cross, crucified for them, raised for them. We pray this in your name. Amen.